This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin VSiN by the Books on this Tuesday morning. Dave Ross here at Circus Sports downtown Las Vegas. Look who's back home. Got a good night's sleep in his own bed. Back in Cleveland, Ohio, our closer, Jensen Lewis. Jensen, how is it? It just feels so good to get home, doesn't it, sometimes?
Yeah. Oh, buddy, in more ways than one. So we'll get everything back to 100% here in the next couple of days. But great to be back. And again, quick shout out to our production crew in Athens, all the SID folks that helped us out in Georgia. I mean, Dave, you know this going on the road. When you're trying to do a TV and you're trying to tell the stories of these kids and these clubs and colleges, it is so helpful when you have people that make it easy and streamline it. So just again, mile high salute to all those people who made our job so easy to do and so fun to be a part of it. But great to be back with you in the home office here. And hey, buddy, we got some stuff coming up this week. And yes, Cinderella is alive in Super Regionals. Let's go.
Yeah, we got some scares out there for some of the big boys yesterday. We'll get to all of that. Obviously, the Daily Diamond today as well. Matt Heumann's going to join us as he does each and every Tuesday right here in this very hour. Going to get to Torpedo Bat Tuesday. Boy, it's funny, isn't it, Jensen? We don't really talk about the Torpedo Bats anymore. It was like such a big deal early on. We even said, like, well, what's the big deal? It's not a big deal. And we'll see who's going to maybe take some of those Torpedo Bats today on a Tuesday and go yard. Colby Marcio is going to join us as well. Going to be great to catch up with Colby again in hour number three, as well as our own JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, as we get closer and closer to the beginning of the NBA Finals. But without further ado, let's get to hour number one, our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
It's not exactly what we saw from, say, the 84 Tigers when they just went out and it looked like they were just going to win every game. But this year's iteration of the Motor City Kitties, pretty darn good. 40 wins. First team to get to 40 here as they absolutely take it to the White Sox on the south side of Chicago yesterday. Kerry Carpenter, not once, not twice, but thrice. Three homers in this one, and Detroit looking the part, Jensen. You and I talked about it yesterday in the show. I was like, man, this feels light for a big favorite on the road, and normally you don't want to lay $2 or look at the money line, but it just felt like that for whatever reason you might have been getting a discounted price on Detroit yesterday. Never a sweat in this one, Jensen. I don't want to go out and say they are the bona fide best team in baseball, but right now with another lopsided 13-1 win, again, it's kind of looking like they can look in the mirror and say, we can hang with anybody in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I would say that you look at just the run differential alone, right? And in the American League, they are tied with the Yankees, plus 98. The Cubs at plus 97, the leader in the National League. And, you know, there's a wide margin just in the junior circuit between Detroit and New York. And the third place team, the irony of ironies right now, the Tampa Bay Rays, right? We thought and looked at Boston as that team that would be challenging the Yankees for the division in the American League East there. But I think overall, here's what makes a lot of sense. Okay, Dave, if you can pitch, that goes anywhere, home, away. You're able to stay in games. You're able to be able to shut down good offenses. They've been a juggernaut at home, 21-8. They're 19-13 on the road. And when you just pile up series victories, you get to this kind of record early in the season. All that being said, and it goes back to the conversation we had not only yesterday, but I think in the past month, I am very intrigued to see what they do at the trade deadline, adding a potential bat or two. I do think that they'll get some internal reinforcements from guys getting healthy on the pitching side. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have to be so crazy going out and get a start. The biggest addition might have been bringing Jack Flaherty back last year. Remember, they traded him to the Dodgers. They got him re-signed very late in the offseason. And so to get that 1-2 punch back with Tarek Skubal, who's running it back even better than what he did winning the Cy Young last year, you know, you really are in an advantageous position. Now, how do you bet the Tigers?
Right.
We said last week, right, if you're going to add them, it's probably the World Series price right now. Plus 850 was I think 9-1 in some places at the end of last week. So, Dave, that's what I would recommend. if you feel the Tigers continue to kind of be that pace car in the American League, go ahead and grab that World Series price right now, because then you know that they're going to be a top two seed. They don't have to play the wild card round. And then you can kind of figure out which team ends up playing them. If you want to put in a little bit of a hedge, or you think, hey, they're going to end up getting past that, they'll get to the LCS, and then make your financial decision from there.
Plus 340 to win the pennant in the American League. As you mentioned, it down a little bit, plus 850 now to win the World Series. Jensen, my only concern would be is there is this weird thing now in postseason baseball where if you're not in the wild card round, we always look that to be advantageous. But sometimes when you rest and wait, whoever comes out of that wild card round, all of a sudden it doesn't seem to be the same advantage. Is there anything to that, or is that just kind of the way the scheduling's borne out the last couple of years? Or is there really a fear of like, oh man, we've been rested for a week and now we got to get back into playing everyday baseball at the highest level?
I always laugh at that one, Dave, because we have 4 days off for the All-Star break and everyone seems to pick it up just fine the Friday we come back and start playing the second half of the regular season. So I think that's more a media driven narrative than mm-hmm. anything. You know, guys are so good with their routine. They're really good about doing the simulated games and kind of the inner squads, just trying to stay sharp. There is no substitute for actual gameplay, but to be able to set up my rotation to get probably some leverage relievers that I've had to lean on the last month or so, some extra rest.
Yeah.
100%. You want to be in that bye round knowing you only got to win 3 games to get to the LCS.
Break up the Rockies. Don't let them get hot out there in Colorado. They go on the road yesterday and get win number 10 on the season. 6-4 winners over Miami. And the thing is, which is really funny, if you're listening to Mitch and Paul is driving around yesterday on Follow the Money, and it's 1-0 in the top of the first, and Mitch says, oh, cash it out. Just cash out the bet right now in Colorado if you're up 1-0. Because they immediately fall behind in this one, 4-1 after 2, Jensen, and then come roaring back, and the Rockies get the 6-4 win. I wonder what the live number was, because I was not right there on my screen for this Marlins-Rockies tilt yesterday. But they do fall back 4-1 after 2 and yet rally to get this win 6-4. So win number 10 over, by the way, catches as well for a team that just doesn't score a whole lot of runs. You know, it is kind of one of those things, if you wanted to fade them, I believe their win total in the month of June was 9.5. I mean, Jensen, before yesterday, I would have said, well, you got to play the under on that. Well, they got one to the good here to kind of kick off this month. It still has to feel good. You're a professional athlete. You're trying to win these games. You get a win 6-4. But if you're the Marlins, Jensen, how are you waking up feeling today in South Beach?
Well, let's first of all talk about the atmosphere yesterday.
Oh,
my great friend and colleague, Ryan Spielborgs, who does television for the Colorado Rockies, sent all of us in our group chat a picture 10 minutes before game time. 10 minutes, okay? And our friends over at Foul Territory also posted a picture on social media. They always say for announcers, you know, in front of tens of thousands. This was in front of tens of tens. All right. There might have been 1,000 people there, good friends and family discount if
That's
you could have
right.
gotten it. But hey, listen, a win is a win is a win. This will be the historically worst team in all of Major League Baseball history, at least in the modern era. Again, if you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, I gave out the over 8 yesterday in the afternoon, and that one cashed through the fifth inning. So good to see the early offense happening there. But, buddy, we're used to kind of seeing those crowds, at least in my experience, back in the minor leagues when you have the 10 a.m. first pitch,
Ooh.
You know, summer camp school days where it's just, you know, you're trying to provide entertainment for the local community. So that's a terrible look both ways for the Marlins, no question.
It is definitely what we call a friends and family game. That's exactly what it felt like, even if you saw when the final out was recorded. And I was curious to see what the only people clapping it felt like behind that Rockies dugout, which had to be friends and family there. And I do believe, Jensen, if you were a family member, you could have batted in the sixth inning. I don't know if it's an official rule yet in Major League Baseball, But if there's that few people that are showing up at the ballpark on a Monday night in Miami, you should give them a little something for the effort of showing up. But a good effort at least put up yesterday for the Rockies. So win number 10, still 500-1 to win the division. Oh, my goodness. Just burn those tickets if you're trying to play those. And look at the numbers. Like, they just can't make them long enough, right? 300-1 to win the National League pennant, 500-1 to win the World Series. Again, that should be 50,000-1, in my estimation. I don't know that if you're the books, like, seriously, I just wonder. Yes, there's liability, of course, but Jensen, why wouldn't you just put that number so high to get generated revenue when there's no chance in you know where that the Rockies could win anything?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I would love to know what Jeffrey Benson's thoughts would be on that. Is you know, what is the psyche of it when? And again, there is no certainty, you know, in the betting space here. But, you know, that in and of itself.
Just crank up the number. You'll generate.
Yeah. What number would it be? Just out of curiosity, what number for you to take, you know, pizza money and just, well, I want to at least have something on it in case the improbable happens.
I mean, you're right. You probably get people that would put $5-$10 on it, and you get these ridiculous numbers knowing. But yeah, if you do that, I just wonder if maybe for the book, it's just not worth it. It's not worth to take all those pizza money bets for the algorithm. Yeah. It's going to say, it's just, you know, if we put that at 1,000-1, at 2,000-1, 5,000-1, to me, it's free money. That's the way I look at it. Like, let's take all those bets for a team that's 40 games under 500. 40 games under 500, but congratulations, Colorado. You get off the schneid, get win number 10 yesterday. All right, when we come back, we're going to get to the Daily Diamond here, Jensen. Also later on in the program, yesterday was the longest day of golf, and we've got some stories about people that did and did not qualify for the United States Open. Just wild stuff. So we'll get to all of that, of course, as we're getting closer and closer to the Stanley Cup Finals, to the NBA Finals, and UFC 316. So much to get to on a Tuesday here, VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here on a Tuesday morning. And Jensen, what's so cool, as we mentioned, going to break about the United States Open, the qualifying going on all over the country yesterday. They call it the longest day of golf on a Monday as everybody tries to get ready for the U.S. Open here in less than 2 weeks at Oakmont in Pennsylvania. And my boy Ferdy Tolentino was there at Woodmont Country Club in the DMV area there in Maryland. And Jensen, what's so cool is that's a course that I've played several times, and then you see these pros going there to try to qualify. One of those guys is Mark Leishman, who now, the big Aussie, resides in my old stomping ground. I used to ride my bike and shadow on in Virginia Beach. That's where the big Aussie now calls home. So my boy Ferdy catches up with him, says, hey, I'm from the 757. They bond a little bit, get a picture together. He makes it. Mark Leishman from now with Live Golf over there is going to be playing in the United States Open there in a week and a half. And you see these stories all over the country. Max Homa, three-putted on 18, did not make the cut for the U.S. Open. You see all these guys trying to qualify for this thing, Jensen. And we'll get to it later on in the program. This 17-year-old kid is going to make it to the U.S. Open. Like, those are the stories of, like, what were you doing at 17? And some of these kids are out there, and it's the ultimate meritocracy here in sports. Hey, you can, Jensen, you could try to go qualify. Like, you and I could actually try to go qualify for the U.S. Open. Probably wouldn't work out well for us, but it's amazing to see how many people across the country yesterday were trying to qualify all over these different country clubs.
Love to see it. And, again, the humility of some of these golf, I mean, and by necessity, right? Max Homa having to carry his own bag. I mean, again, you see these pros that we know with the name recognition having to do this to even be a part of the field. Wow. I think is remarkable in and of itself.
Yes, guys like Max will not be there. He's onto his third caddy, by the way, in 3 months. And Sergio Garcia didn't make the cut either. So, like, you see these huge names in golf that can't make it, and yet these stories of 17-year-old kids that do. But without further ado, let's get to today's edition of the Daily Diamond.
Thank you.
And we saw, I couldn't stay up late last night and see those Metropolitans get a 4-3 win over the Dodgers in extras. But Jensen, we do have some series that have begun and are beginning today. And you saw another tight one yesterday with San Diego and San Francisco, 1-0 there, that maybe have some playoff implications here in June.
We usually look at some of these series now, right, with, 40, 50 plus games in and start to kind of surmise, okay, could this be a potential playoff preview? And the American League, we just talked about the Tampa Bay Rays and how they have really ascended through the standings, especially in May. Mm-hmm. And then we've talked about the Texas Rangers saying, all right, you know, it's about time, like kind of get moving here because they've got the talent. And if they're able to get healthy and kind of put it all together at the same time, they should be able to take off. So that's our first kind of playoff preview series that gets underway tonight. The Padres and the Giants, of course, played yesterday. Boy, what a pitching duel mm-hmm. it was yesterday. 1-0. The Padres end up beating the Giants. You mentioned the Mets and the Dodgers, and the Mets getting the come from behind win yesterday. Again, that Mets-Dodgers series, a matchup, a rematch of the NLCS from just a year ago. And so these are ones that, you know, from a betting perspective, you do have these teams that will kind of get up a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, there is, I'm not going to say an October feel for them, but it is kind of that first litmus test, if you will, of like everyone kind of knows who they are initially. And now you size yourself up in some of these series against potential playoff teams.
You know, I'm looking at that one with Tampa and Texas here going on in Tampa Bay. And I'm looking at the numbers for Texas. Now, you can take Texas just to make the postseason, okay? And that's plus 230. And again, they're going to be $1.21 dogs today down there at George Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. Would you rather play that? It kind of gives you that double out, right? Obviously, wild card and or win the division. Or do you think they would still be live? Would you take the longer price to still come back and win the division? And you get that today at 6-1. So again, you can get plus 230 to make the postseason on Texas, or 6-1 just to make the playoffs. Like, I guess, Jensen, when you look at Texas, do you see a playoff team one way or the other?
Yeah, they were a team at the beginning of the year, Dave, that I had a flyer on for most wins in the American League and also to achieve a first round bye. So they'd have to have, you know, not only the division title, but also one of those top two records in the American League. So, yeah, for me personally to add in the portfolio, I would take the double chance, yep, right, to make the playoffs. Obviously, if they win the division they're in, or if they find their way in through the wild card. So, listen, credit where it's due. The way that Seattle has hit the ball this year, and obviously the big Dempa, Cal Raleigh is a huge part of that. But they're, you know, that's the scary part about the Mariners. They've yet to really hit their stride, and they've had a lot of injuries in the rotation. George Kirby, Logan Gilbert, they've had those injuries, and yet are still where they are. So once they do get healthy in the rotation, you and I both know we've seen in the last 3 to 4 years be maybe as dominant a pitching staff that the American League has had. So, you know, that is a really good omen for them. We know that the Rangers, and we've highlighted DeGrom, we've highlighted Nathan Eovaldi, two of your top six betting choices mm-hmm. for the American League Cy Young. I mean, that in and of itself should give you a lot of confidence. So not mad at you if you want the 6-1 division price, but yet again, the exercise, that 22-1 of the American League, because there's just so many teams, Dave, I think that are going to be live for the postseason and have a chance to win the junior circuit. So I'd recommend if you want to take the long shot, you take the AL price.
Like that. I like the 22-1 number there to win the pennant. And then again, you could take the short shot there, plus 230-ish to make the postseason, double that up a little bit with a little pizza money maybe on that longer 22-1. It'd be nice to have those tickets in if they can get in. We mentioned the Dodgers and the Mets. Mets getting that game one victory last night. Look, I did watch a little bit of Paul Blackburn's return, and he looked good, Jensen. Like, this was part of the handicap when we discussed it last week, and I mentioned the Mets here 2-0 so far in June. Why I like the Mets, their prospects this month, it was because of the reinforcements with the pitching. So in the hitting got there late. It was, you know, 2-1 late. Here goes extras. You win it 4-3. A guy like Blackburn, who the Mets really have not utilized yet since trading for him in the deadline last year from Colorado, ironically, how big a boon could that be in that rotation? And they were already kind of pitching very well. It's a case of the rich getting richer, at least with another arm.
I think that's probably the biggest, you know, thing for them in the short term is being able to protect against potential other injuries, because, you know, you and I highlighted Kodai Senga at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
Like, all right, he has not had one of those full healthy seasons, and we saw him get out to the start and he's maintained the great start that he's had. So the hope is, hey, can he get all the way through that? The other part of this, and it's also the Clay Holmes factor here, is you got a guy who transitioned from a reliever to a starter, and how many innings are they going to let him go in the second half, also into October, because ultimately that's the goal, right? So you're going to have to walk the tightrope if you're Carlos Mendoza in figuring out workload threshold for some of these guys that are going to reach those maximum inning thresholds from the last couple of seasons. These reinforcements, Manaea, Montas coming up, Blackburn, I mean, they may end up going to a six-man rotation and staying there for a little bit just so they can get everyone healthy and be able to monitor those innings thresholds as they get into August and September.
It's a really good problem to have right now for the Metropolitan. So Blackburn, a welcome addition to that rotation yesterday in Chavez Ravine. We know that the big unit love to take that baseball, rock that 51 out there. It looks like the Mariners are going to do the right thing by Randy, who became well-traveled at the end of his career. A lot of major leaguers do, Arizona, New York, and the like. But it is kind of an anomaly here that not only did he wear 51 in Seattle, but so did Ichiro. Like, Jensen, how random does that turn out to be? And both these guys getting those number 51s retired.
Dave, this is such a cool story. And this just tells you what kind of pedigree that Ichiro had and the respect. So for people that don't know, when Ichiro came over to the Mariners, he wrote a letter to Randy Johnson about being able to wear number 51. And the big unit was so touched by it that he gave his blessing in return. And it almost, you know, is the amazing full circle moment here. So Ichiro gets voted in to the Hall of Fame. His jersey will be retired, number 51, on August 9th of this year. And out of respect, Randy Johnson did not want to have any focus or any moment taken away from Ichiro. So he asked the Mariners, and the Mariners say, we want to retire your 51 as well. He asked them to do it next year. So you'll get the big unit retired in 2026 so that Ichiro can have his moment. It's just, again, you know, two Hall of Famers, obviously, two superstars, but the mutual respect.
Awesome.
I think it's so neat. It's such a great story between those two.
I wonder if anybody else will ever wear 51 of the big. All right, we have two guys that are in the Hall of Fame.
Hey,
all
we
right?
can't have a third.
I don't think we can do a third. All right, this is enough. We're tempting fate with greatness here in this number in 51. By the way, it's always great when you're a VSiN Pro subscriber. You're going to get access for $41 off your annual subscription to Daily Best Bets, Betting Splits, VSiN Watch app access, the NFL Betting Guides coming out in July, and Josh Applebaum, NFL Sharp Betting Playbook. You're going to have access to all of that right now when you go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use the promo code BOOK, the title of the show. We're back with more.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books here on a Tuesday. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here with you. Always love catching up with our guy, Matt Humans. Give him a follow on X at MattHumans247. Joins us now here in the Progressive Guest Line. Of course, check him out each and every night, day, depending on where you are in the country, here on VSiN. Of course, you can always listen on Sirius Channel 158 as well. Matt, we're almost there. I mean, we got to wait a little bit longer to get to Thursday. Of course, Stanley Cup Finals begin tomorrow. But we do get to those, you want to say, kind of those dog days of summer starting to begin. This layoff between the Pacers and the Thunder now, does it affect the way you look at Game 1? Or do you think this really is as big a favorite as Oklahoma City is? They should be this big a fave.
Yeah, I don't think the layoff's going to be a factor. It's just going to be the Pacers got to figure out a way to deal with this OKCD. That's going to be problematic for the Pacers on the offensive end. Half-court offense, getting out in transition, getting points off turnovers. If you watched how the Pacers put away the Knicks, it was points off turnovers. It was fast break, three-point shooting. 17 of 33 from three in that final game six. And they're not going to get all those open looks and all those easy buckets against this OKC defense. So that's going to be my concern here with the Pacers. They've got the second best offensive rating in the playoffs, 117.7 points per 100 possessions. That number is going to go way down against the Thunder. And you got this matchup that's going to be a concern, too. Tyrese Haliburton against Lou Dort, who can put you in a torture chamber and lock you down. Pacers got to limit their turnovers. They got to get a hop from three. Indiana is the number one three-point shooting percentage team in the playoffs at 40%. OKC has struggled at 33.6. So, you know, most handicappers or, you know, media experts, so-called experts you hear from, talking about the series, probably think it's going to be a walkover. A lot are going to say, you know, Thunder sweep or Thunder in five. I think Thunder in five is probably going to be the most common prediction. I can understand that. I'm going to say the Pacers extend this series. One thing is, Pacers can, at times, can be so efficient offensively and so good behind the three-point line. They can spread out Oklahoma City's defense. Rick Carlisle is one of the best coaches in the game. They've got the coaching edge here with Carlisle. They've also got a bit of an experience edge. Don't forget this Thunder team. I think the second youngest team to ever reach the finals. So they still got some growing up to do. When they went up 2-0 over the T-Wolves, went to Minnesota in game three and got beat by 40. I don't think this Thunder team is bulletproof, and the Pacers can extend this series. So how are you going to play it? I'm not going to play game one. I typically don't like to play game one of any NBA series. But I'm looking to play maybe Thunder in six at plus 450 or Thunder in seven at 5-1 odds. I'll probably play more on Thunder in six at plus 450 and say, hey, OKC is going to win this series in six. But I think the Pacers can extend it. I believe it's going to be a more competitive series than a lot of people think.
Yeah, anxious to see how it all gets underway on Thursday there, Matt. Also anxious to see how this NFC North plays out this year for the NFC. And also, you know, Dave and I kind of talked a little bit about it yesterday. And will there be regression here for the Detroit Lions? We find out Frank Ragnow ends up retiring yesterday. Yet another loss for this Lions organization. We obviously know what the coordinator issues and all that. Take us through your psyche on how you handicap the Lions and maybe the NFC North as well.
That's a great question. You know, I hear a little weakness in your voice today. You feeling okay?
I'm hanging in. We're getting there.
Are you? Okay. Your voice is not as strong as usually. Well, I know you worked all week in Georgia. Sounds like you're, okay. Hey, I'll tell you what. The Detroit Lions got one of the five toughest schedules in the NFL. And any way you cut it, talk about opponents' win percentage, opponents' win totals, it's one of the three toughest schedules in the league. I think regression is certain for the Lions. How much? I don't know. But from 15-2, what's realistic for the Lions? I would say, you know, the floor would be 9-8. I don't think they're going to fall that far. Probably somewhere around 10 or 11 wins. And when you look at the Lions' win total of 10.5, that's obviously the odds makers are expecting that. And I think that win total set the right spot. I'm not ready to commit to the under yet, but that's where I would lean here with the Lions. 15-2 last season, five wins by 3 points or fewer, including overtime. And they had a lot of things go their way in close games. Now, they also had a lot of defensive injuries last season. Mm-hmm. Detroit lost Aiden Hutchinson and a bunch of defensive starters. So you could also look at it from that angle and say, hey, 15-2 with a bunch of defensive injuries. But I think the schedule works so much against the Lions here. It's going to be hard for this team to get 12 wins or more. 8 of 9 road games versus teams that finished above 500 last season. That's the most in league history. Those eight road games against teams that finished above 500 are going to be against the Chiefs, Eagles, Vikings, Commanders, Ravens, Packers, Rams, and Bengals. All right, that's just the road schedule. Now we're talking about the offensive line taking a hit with Frank Ragnow's retirement. The Lions don't have a center who's ready to step in there. Okay, so offensive coordinator Ben Johnson's gone. Everything's going to be a little bit out of sync with this offense. On the flip side, defensive coordinator Aaron Glenn's gone. We all know that. Only team in the NFL to close with two straight divisional road games. Lions closed the season at Minnesota, at Chicago. Man, there's so many things working against the Lions. And, you know, as a handicapper, when a team goes 15-2, you're always looking for regression anyway. And I think there are plenty of reasons you can find it here with Detroit. I would lean under 10.5. Like I said, that's not a bet I'm willing to make yet. I'm going to look at this a little bit more. You might be able to find, you know, with alternate win totals out there, I think I'd be more comfortable playing under 11.5 if you can find something like that on Detroit. But what do you think, Super Dave? I mean, you're a Dallas guy. Do you think Detroit takes a step back?
I think that that might be a little bit aggressive to drop them down to 10.5, right? I'm with you that the floor of this team is still a 9-10 win team, which almost right. gets you to that total. I can already hear the narratives, right? Oh, this was all Ben Johnson. It was all Aaron Glenn. It was all the coordinators. Dan Campbell doesn't know how to coach. Get ready for all of that if they struggle. And I'm kind of with you. The schedule is brutal, right? It's absolutely brutal no matter how you slice it. But I think this team is pretty darn good. The Ragnow one did send me for a bit of a loop yesterday because I have to hope that they knew that was coming to a degree. But Matt, your point about not having a replacement there, I mean, that could have been addressed in the draft and or free agency. I mean, maybe it's not too late to do that, but it feels pretty late in the game. Not Andrew Luck late in the game, like he did with the Colts many, many moons ago. But still, for as key that as that offensive line is for Jared Goff, because he cannot handle pressure. And one thing is you get him off his rhythm, and that is not the Jared Goff that you see putting up those great numbers. So that offensive line is something certainly to keep an eye on there. But I would not run to the window to play the under yet on this football team. I wouldn't just yet. I think you had a question for Jensen. Is it baseball specific?
I'm going to ask Jensen, first of all, what's his least favorite fast food spot right now? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, God. We've documented that one. We've documented that one. That one's Chipotle. That's easy.
Okay, so I was trying to find a couple baseball bets here. Nothing I really love right now, but one matchup jumps out at me today is very intriguing, and I thought Jensen could talk about it a little bit better. Lance McCullers against Paul Skeens in Pittsburgh. And amazingly right now, Paul Skeens is not even Pittsburgh's hottest starter. Did you see this coming from Bailey Falter, by the way? Look what Falter's done for the Pirates starter in the last five games or so. And McCullers is interesting, too, because I'm tempted to play Skeens in this game. We all remember how bad McCullers was. Now, he's been out about 2 years. He comes back and he just gets bombed by the Reds, gives up 7 runs in the first inning in that game on May 10th. But he's been a little bit better since. So, actually, he's been a lot better since that game. I think this is a really intriguing matchup, McCullers and Skeens. It's never easy to lay -140 with the Pirates. How would you look at that matchup?
Yeah, Matty, I would say succinctly that, first of all, you've got, you know, Skeens being able to really generate way more swing and miss in back ends of lineups. And when he needs to, he kind of adds and subtracts against the middle. And he has really now kind of gotten through the command bugaboo he had earlier in the season. McCullers still the big sweeper. If I were to give you a recommendation, I would look back to that Detroit and White Sox total. I would look to the under 8.5. Detroit hasn't announced a starter yet, but you could go out there and throw against the White Sox right now, Matty. That's how bad they are. So that would be where I would lean right now.
Okay. Okay. Good deal. Yeah, but check out Bailey Falter, by the way, what he's doing for the Pirates. I know you've followed it, Jensen, but the last 5 starts, this kid's been incredible. Everybody talks about Skeens. Falter's given up a total of 2 earned runs in his past 5 starts.
Oof. Wow. Matt, you got me all fired up for some football futures there because I do have the Lions in pocket, and I don't love this Frank Ragnow news that we got yesterday, so I'm trying to adjust from that.
What do you got the Lions? To win the division, to win the Super Bowl, Rob, because I think to win the division's up for grabs right now.
I know. I took him at 5-1 to win the NFC. That's down to +475. So I'm still ahead of the game by 25 whole cents. Matt, we appreciate you as always. We're back with more in a moment.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, always enjoy those conversations. with Matt Youmans to begin the day here on a Tuesday. And that one with the Lions, and we even carried it over in the break a little bit, talking about Frank Ragnow, rather, and how
yes.
sometimes you get surprised by some of these things that happen in the NFL. And look, we talked about it. Everybody's body is different. And so you say, as an athlete, I've had enough. I'm never going to tell you, hey, my futures ticket depends on you. Like, they don't care about that stuff, right? So you can understand when a center says, I've had enough car crashes, I'm out of here. But do you think the team was caught off guard? Because, Jensen, these are the hard things to garner. We're hearing maybe reports that the second-round pick is the guy that's taking those first-team snaps, and maybe they did have a contingency plan if you see something like this happening. But I wonder, like, the Andrew Luck conversation that I brought up with Matt, you know, some Colts fans are still mad about that he did that in preseason right before the start of the season, and it did catch the organization by surprise. Ironically, we're going to break down the Colts later on in the program today with their win total. But does the player owe the organization in any team sport that kind of hint that, Jensen, you know what, guys, I might be on the way out?
Boy, it's very delicate. Because then you are now giving, and this is a business. Yep. So remember that there, I don't care how long you've been with a club, loyalty comes at a price, and you are now giving them a reason or more importantly, an out to be like, hey, you came to us. So I totally get from the player side where, you know, we used to say like, hey, you don't go in the training room unless you're like in dire straits, you know, or, you know, and again, it's a different era now,
yeah.
But that kind of psyche of like, you don't want to show any, you know, cracks in the armor or anything like that for them to like think twice about running you out there or having confidence in you, because they'll just go get someone else. And that's a real thing across all sports. So I get it from Frank Ragnow's side. You know, when you have the money invested, maybe it's different because you've got the financial security, or at least, you know, most of those guys that have signed those kind of deals do. So maybe that gives the player a little bit more of like, okay, hey, I understand it's a business. I understand what you got to do here. And I know that I'm not 100%. So that's an individual situation, Dave. I would never tell guys how to handle that.
That's the good stuff right there. That's the insight of a former major leaguer at the highest level, and that's what Frank Ragnow was dealing with and having to make those determinations. Jensen, that's great insight to the mind of an athlete. I don't want to give any reason to get Wally pipped here until it's my time to go. So maybe that was in Frank's mind of like, I'll go when it's my time, because if I said this a couple months ago, they would already been looking for my replacement. Well said. Final jewel of the Triple Crown is here. The Belmont Stakes is upon us here this weekend. No better time to bet the races than right now at our friends over at First Bet. New users can get a $200 sign-up bonus just by using the promo code VEASAN200. So whether you're a seasoned horse player, brand new to the sport, First Bet has got you covered with all the tools to help elevate your horse racing game. Download the app. Go to firstbet.com/VEASAN. Sign up today. That's firstbet.com/VSI. Use that promo code VEASAN200 for your $200 bonus when you sign up today. Great conversation with Matt as well about the Pacers and the Thunder. And I'm glad Matt brought up the point of he thinks the series could at least get extended to six. I'm kind of in that boat as well. If you think the series is going to go six games, by the way, it's going to tip off game one Thursday night. Big favorites for OKC game one. 9, we're seeing 230.5. I'm seeing some 231s now. Flashier at DraftKings, so that number and total starting to go up a little bit. But I'm kind of in that vein, and again, this is why you watch and listen across the board here to all different opinions here on the network. But I think I'd be surprised if it was a sweep. I would be, even if OKC wins in 4, and that exact price is +260. Like, Jensen, they're still young too. This is still their first time as well. So I don't see this. Yes. I do think OKC is better, clearly. Yes, they should be big favorites. Should they be $7 betting favorites in the marketplace for the series? It feels a little heavy, but again, I'm not sure Indiana tickets are going to get you to the window. I might be looking to extend those series to 6, dare I say, a 7 games. But I don't think the expectation level is that we're getting a long series, and I think people might be surprised by that.
I just, for the heck of it, parlayed and just did it in the calculator just to see what it would be. The Thunder to win the finals and Scottie Scheffler to win the U.S. Open is +334. It's it only gets basically Scotty to plus 334 for you. So it just, again, it kind of gives you where the market implies that it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when the Thunder win the final. Now, all that being said, if you want to go on the flip side and you say the shock and awe campaign continues here from Indiana, in your heart of hearts, Dave, do you think that the Pacers win this in six, or does it have to go the distance? Because the ultimate surprise would be that Oklahoma City lays the largest egg maybe in finals history, considering how big of a favorite they are. I don't see it ending in five either way. I think it goes to six. And so I would probably just start at that point. And kind of how Rachel Dory told us yesterday of, you know, if you feel like Florida is your side there, then it's not going to end early. It's going to have to go either six or seven. So that's where I would look. If you're a Pacers backer, don't see this thing ending early. I think you got to go either the exacta at 4-2 or the exacta at 4-3. And that's a nice, healthy payout, 14-1, 15-1. I think that's a much better way to go for the value.
I tend to agree again. And if you get there and you get to a game six and or seven, you're certainly going to have some, if you want
great
to,
hedge.
Great hedgeable yes. spots, right? So that theory, boy, you're like, Indiana, just get to three. Really, that's your target, right? Get to three wins. If you get to three, obviously we'd love to close that out in a game six or seven, but you'd have a way to monetize those tickets if you can get there. I do like them for at least two wins. I don't know if I can get all the way to three, but I'm with you. Matt, I do think this series is more than likely heading six, and that's where you can look at that 3-1 number there for the series total games at six games at plus $3. Panthers and Oilers going to begin game one tomorrow. Again, the interesting thing to me, we've been monitoring this since the numbers came out, is that the series price, which was opening about $1.10 either way, now that's ticked up a little bit towards the Edmonton side here. That game one is a bigger price point here on Edmonton at minus $1.24. Come back here and the Panthers is still plus $1.11. And the puck line, if you want to get there for the Oilers, is almost 2-1. Is that the money is coming in on Edmonton here, at least in game one, Jensen. Does that make sense with the layoff? Because, again, talking to Rachel yesterday, Florida could use the rest too. It's going to help some of their guys that have been dinged up in some series past.
Yeah, I told you yesterday I'm a sucker for a puck line. I may still get back there. That was my lean yesterday, and the price has actually gotten a bit more advantageous as far as the payout goes. I think we see goals. I think we see some scoring here, and credit to both netminders. You know, Bob has been really good for Florida. You get the extra amount of rest, and that will be advantageous for him in his own right heading on onto the road. Six, you know, if you can play the over six at Circa right now, I would take it. I know 6.5, I believe, right now at DraftKings is plus 105, so still not bad there. But if you could take the over six and at least get the chance for the push, I think we get goals, man. I really do. So I'm kind of anxious to see what both goaltenders look like coming out in that first period. Is Stuart Skinner on the hot streak still, you know, realizing that it's game one through game three, or is he still in that game four and beyond mindset? So exciting way to start here. I'm sure JD, Jonathan Davis will have some good nuggets for us coming up tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to it, man. You said it yesterday, it bears repeating. Canada wants this thing so bad.
Oh, man.
And I've done a lot of radio spots with the folks in Edmonton the last handful of months. And there is a sense, there's a fervor, but there's also that knife's edge tension of like, God, if not now, when are we going to get this thing, man? Like we got two of the transcendent players in McDavid and Draisaitl, and we got a goaltender that's actually like moving in the right direction for us. So I don't know if there's more pressure on Edmonton to win game one so that there's not that fear of like, oh God, we got to at least get a split before we go back to Sunrise. So I'm excited to see what we get tomorrow night.
Well, again, what were you doing in what, 1993? Last time Canada won a cup? 1993. I had no gray hair in 1993 back then. Like, it is amazing to think how long ago that actually is for your sport. When that is your country's sport and you haven't got to imagine what O Canada is going to sound like tomorrow night up there north of the border. It's going to be passionate. That fan base is going to be ready. I hope Florida's ready. It's going to feel different than last year. It really is. And I know home ice last year went to Florida. That made a big difference, obviously, going 7. Game 1 is going to be a very interesting litmus test for what we might get in that series. By the way, with the Stanley Cup Finals, with the NBA playoffs now also in the finals, ProfitX, no better time than getting involved right now by using the promo code VSIN. It's available in 40 or more states. It's a peer-to-peer sports exchange group. First of its kind in the U.S. You're getting the best odds out there. And right now when you sign up to $200 in ProfitX cash. Come on back. More to get to in a moment.